Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. Today, I'm sitting down with my dear friend, Autumn Hickok. She is a married adoptive mom of two kids who happen to be biological siblings. And it was so wonderful to chat with her because her and I have a common experience. My oldest is hopefully soon to be fully adopted. And she talks about everything that comes along with this journey. Family court, dealing with county agencies, and all of the lows and the highs of it, the things she didn't expect, the things that really maybe kind of threw her for a loop, and how this has brought her and her wife closer together. If you are a foster or adoptive parent, I think this is definitely a must episode for you. And even if you are not, Autumn says so many things that are so relatable to every parent, because at the end of the day, we all just want to be great parents. So I hope that you can relate to something in this episode for yourself. Hi, Autumn. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Autumn, you're a great friend of mine with two great kids. Yes. And I always start the interview with a question about Autumn before motherhood. The adult Autumn before motherhood. Who is that person? Autumn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not fun anymore. But yes, I used to be very active. I used to be fun. I used to go out a lot with my friends. And now, you know, it's just more being a mom. We would go out. I was very active. You and I did marathons in the same organization with Team and Training. Yeah, it was crazy, but I loved it. And I used to, my wife and I, we used to just be really active hiking, working out. I used to be in CrossFit, all that. Not anymore, if you could tell.
It is so hard to make that a part of your every day.
Yeah, I don't have a second, I feel like, to work out anymore.
Yeah.
But I try, but
you fit it in.
It's a work in progress.
That is my motto about motherhood. Consistently, it is a work in progress.
Definitely.
So, when did you meet your wife? How long have you two been together?
We have been together. This year will be 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've been married for, oh my gosh, this year's 10.
Oh, you guys are right there with Mike and I.
Then. Really?
Yeah, we've been together. It'll be 17 years this year and 11 years married.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, gosh, doesn't it? It seems like yesterday.
It just
flies 16 by. Years just goes by. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, so we've been together since, for 16 years. And we decided to get married in 2008, kind of on the fly because of the whole Prop 8 thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've been married ever since, happily. So
we had some neighbors at the time do that, too, because it was possible that it was going to go away, which it did for a while, right?
Well, I mean, we were grandfathered. That's why we decided to get married, because I could kind of tell, based on where I lived, I could kind of tell that Prop 8 was going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we decided to kind of run out and elope, because I just wanted to make sure that I had rights.
Yeah.
So if my wife ever got sick or, you know, vice versa, we could, you know, be with each other and do the things that normal couples were able to do. So I'm very glad I did it, because I think it was like a good, like, I want to say 5 years, maybe, or 4 years until it was, like, repealed.
Yeah.
I don't really know, because
it was a while. Yeah, I kind of remember, but I know there was the repeal and then worrying about if you would be able to keep the rights for couples that got married, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I'm overall, I was happy we did it. It kind of just, like, propelled our, you know, relationship into where I think it was already going.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm glad overall that we did it. So.
And was kids a conversation for you guys when you were getting married, or were you just enjoying life and being together?
Yeah, we were just enjoying life. I knew she wasn't the type to ever like want to have a baby, like physically.
Mm-hmm.
But she had always talked about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always open to that too. You know, but I had always just wanted a child.
Yeah.
I didn't really, to me, it wasn't, it didn't have to be a certain way, you know, but because she was very, really, really into the idea of adoption, I was like, sounds good. So that's how we did it.
And how long after getting married did you guys embark on the adoption process?
So we were married in 2008 and we got the children in 2014. So it was about 6 years. It was long enough. Yeah.
And was the adoption process really long? You guys decided to foster to adopt, right?
Right. Well, we actually were open to both domestic private mm-hmm. adoption and foster adoption. We had actually gone, we did both ways. We actually paid money to an agency for mm-hmm. a private adoption. And then we did the whole process with DCFS and like a foster family agency to foster adopt, because we were aware of the fact that it's not always a very quick process
mm-hmm.
to match with like a birth mom, you know, for a private adoption. And then we knew that the foster care system, we knew we wanted a small child, mm-hmm. whether it be like anywhere from newborn to like three.
Yeah.
So we knew that that was challenging mm-hmm. because unfortunately, there, as you know, there's a lot of children in the foster system, but a lot of them are teens or older,
yeah, older
children. Kids. And not that we were opposed to that. It was just like for our first child, we wanted to be able to have a baby.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our thing. So, but it just so happened that we got a phone call. I think we started the process in 2012. And then when we got a call from the foster family agency saying, I know we told you this was going to take a long time because we had signed up. I think we did all the home study and the paperwork and everything took quite some time.
Yeah.
We started in like, I want to say the fall of 2012 and we were finished the beginning of 2013.
Oh, wow.
And we got a call saying we have a baby and she's a newborn. She was just born in December. But she has a brother. And we were like, oh, okay, well, how old's the brother? And he was at that time like 20 months.
Okay.
So we said, let's do it, you know? So it was kind of at the time we were like, you know, too much that we were biting off too much than we could actually chew.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, we always had wanted two kids. We would love the idea of having a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And here we had siblings, biological siblings, that weren't together, uh-huh. that they needed a home.
Oh, so they were not together. Okay.
Yeah, this my son was placed with a foster family when he was 18 months, and his sister hadn't been born yet. And then she was born, and she went to a different foster family. So they were looking for an adoptive family so they could be together. And wow. So it was like, actually, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So, of course, we were like, bring them on over. And, you know, we were really scared because, you know, in our view, the downside of fostering was risky, you mm-hmm. know, because, you know, a lot of times the whole point of fostering is to reunify the children with their parents. And so for me personally, I was like really scared about that because I get attached.
Yeah.
That's I'm a school scary. Nurse and I get attached to my students.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't even fathom the idea of having a newborn baby and a little 2-year-old and then having to, after bonding and raising them for God knows how long, have to like return them. I was terrified. But at the same time, I realized that if that occurred, it would be a good thing
mm-hmm.
For those kids. So yeah. Ultimately, we just jumped off the ledge and
that's
just did it.
Huge jump.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
What would you say was one of the surprises when you first got the kids? Were there any surprises?
Well, I mean, you know, the foster system, the social workers and the foster family agency that we went through, they really prep you.
Mm-hmm.
You take a lot of classes about, you know, that you're going to get a child that's not like you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not your biological mm-hmm. child, but, you know, there's all sorts of different, you know, ethnicities, races, you know, religions that you have to take into consideration, you know, when you're taking in foster children, because you need to gear your care towards their needs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were told, you know, you could get children that came from a Muslim family and you might need to take them to a mosque and, you know, like things like that, that mm-hmm. I was like terrified about. Like, I just want to make sure I'm a prepared mom, because I think, I'm sure you felt the same way when you were pregnant. Like, I just want to be a good mom. But then when you're getting a child that you didn't birth,
yeah,
and doesn't have your DNA and you and wasn't raised day one from with you, you have all those considerations to take in.
Yeah.
And try to do your best.
But I think the key thing is, like, birth mom, adoptive mom, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. The fear of what you've gotten yourself into.
Yeah.
It's like, definitely. What am I doing?
Well, I mean, when they handed me a newborn, she was, I think, 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
When we got her, I was like hyperventilating, mm-hmm. you know, and then on top of it, I have this, you know, rambunctious 2-year-old. So it's like instant family. Here you go.
Whoa, and toddler and yes, newborn.
Yes.
Yeah. You got so, hazed into motherhood.
Definitely. And that I think was the part that kind of threw me a little bit, because I was prepped with the whole baby scenario. You know, I had all of the baby stuff. We went out to Bye-Bye Baby and bought, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And then we got a call saying, oh, and here's a 2-year-old boy, you know. And so it just was a lot. So I just wanted to take it all in mm-hmm. day by day. And so I'm kind of glad that I kept that mindset, because I have a tendency to be hard on myself, mm-hmm. and that would have probably thrown me over the edge if I was just like criticizing every little thing that I was doing when you have a newborn and a toddler.
I could imagine you just didn't even have the time to criticize yourself.
You know, honestly, I don't think I slept for the first year.
Yeah.
So I was like a mom, what do you call it, a mom bee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a mom bee for a year.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't do well without sleep. So it was. I'm happy I survived, basically. And I'm happy they survived.
That's right. The first year, it should just be not a birthday celebration, but a celebration that everybody made it towards the end of that year in one piece.
And it's kind of a big blur mm-hmm. because not only did I have 2 babies, but I had social workers and therapists. And my son has had some issues at the time because mm-hmm. he wasn't able to speak. So we had speech therapists and developmental therapists. And so it was a lot. It was a lot. And it all just went by so quickly that it's like, I don't even really remember it.
Yeah.
You know, except that I just really grew to love these 2 kids and just wanted the absolute best for them.
So from what point when the kids came to your mm-hmm. home, were you actually able to adopt them?
About 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they came to us in February of 2014, and the adoption went through. We actually had the court date in, almost 2 years later, basically.
And I know from my oldest is mm-hmm. not technically adopted, but there's really no other term to explain it, but adopted. I know that that is a messy process. Mm-hmm. And for people that may be thinking about fostering to adopting, what would you say that you, how do I word this? What did you learn to expect from that process?
Well, I have friends that want to adopt currently, mm-hmm. and they've asked me, should I foster adopt? And I just don't even think that that's a question that I can answer, mm-hmm. because really it's so individualized, because you have to really have thick skin, first of all. Mm-hmm. And that is something I would never characterize myself mm-hmm. as having. So, you know, hindsight, now I look back and I go, wow. Like, if I had really taken my personality and applied it to this process, I would have said, oh, I don't know that you should do it. But I made it through.
Yeah.
And it turned out okay. But it's something, it's tough. And you're wrought emotionally. Besides mm-hmm. the physical part of being a mom of a baby and, you know, and a toddler. But I mean, whichever you end up getting, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's so rewarding. You know, it's you're being a mom, regardless if it's for, you know, 6 months, 2 years, or forever. Mm-hmm. You're being a mom, and you're helping those kids, but it's not simple by any means. Mm-hmm. Not that even having a biological baby is simple, but you add a lot of people and red tape and a lot of things to it that no one can possibly explain to you prior.
No.
You know, and I know you understand what I'm talking
or
about.
Or even you go to court thinking, okay, this is the time that is going to get resolved. And then you get there and it's, no, we're postponing it for another
day. Yes, postponing is a big thing.
Oh, my God.
And continuing it. That's the word they use. Oh, this. Yeah, the court date will be continued until such and such. And it's like for a while there, it was being continued every month.
Yeah.
And they kept telling us when we got them, oh, this is a for sure thing. It's going to go to adoption. And they're, you know, the termination of parental rights will be happening in like, I want to say about a month. And then it turned into 6 months. And then it turned into a year. And then it turned into a year and a half. And so that's why I would tell anybody, just don't have any expectations.
Yeah.
Like if you just walk in with, I want to mother a child or parent a child, and I want to just make sure that this child is loved and cared for, and hopefully all will work out.
Yeah.
That would, I think, would be probably a better approach than what I was
thinking. You can't help that emotional buildup to the date, and then you walk in and nothing happens, and it's like, what?
Well, and you rely on the experts.
Yeah.
You know, and these experts are telling you it's a sure thing and it's going to happen next month. And then 2 years later, you know, so it's one of those things where that's what I have told my friends that have been considering it, is that just if you walk in, you know, with really no expectation and know that things are going to change constantly and that it's just, you know, there is no reliability in anything anyone says, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, there's just so many factors that come into play. So many agencies that have to approve something. And
yes. Yeah. It is so rewarding at the same time. It really is.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in it, I think, you know, it's very stressful. But when it's over, I look back on it and I'm like, I would do that again in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did exhaust me.
Mm-hmm.
But any day twice on Sunday, I do it again. You know, I mean, it was the best thing I ever did in my life.
Mm-hmm. How would you say it changed your marriage over time?
Once you
made that decision?
I don't think Sharon and I, if we could get through that, we could get through anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got a newborn and a 2-year-old that had we had to get a lot of therapy for him to progress. And, you know, it was extremely difficult in itself to not sleep. My daughter woke up every hour. She was just not a good sleeper. And she's a screamer, you know? And so it's like to have no sleep, screaming all the time. You know, you have all these people in your house, therapy. But I mean, we were both mentally and physically exhausted and irritable, you know? And, you know, sure, we had it out, you know, here and there. But ultimately, we had to come together, you know, for the kids. And for the situation we were in, we had to be a nut in front to deal with all the social workers and biological family visits and all the things we had to endure during the 2-year process. We had to stick together. And it couldn't be about like who got up last with the baby or, you know, right?
Yes. Which is so easy to start taking the score and the tally that.
Or, you know, you diaper her because I've already done it 5 times or, you know, I have to say I am a blessed woman because my wife is like literally the best partner anyone could ever ask for. So I was really fortunate because I hear from a lot of my friends, you know, like their moms and then their husbands go off to work and they're at home and they just feel it like piling on. Mm-hmm. But I'm really fortunate. My wife, even though she was the one that worked more than I did, she just really just jumped in full force and just took over anytime that she could for me so I could like get a mental break.
Yeah. And that, but you're both in education.
Yes.
You're a school nurse.
Yes.
And she's
a teacher.
A teacher. So you came equipped with a few tools.
Yes.
Even though I say, because I have a BA in child development.
Really matters,
exactly.
But
it's still a shot to your system.
Matter. Yeah.
But I think having a little bit of a background.
I think it helped with my son because my son had some developmental delays. So like, you know, and, you know, he has a diagnosis of high functioning autism. So, I mean, at the time that really came into play because he was struggling. Mm-hmm. And so we saw, that doesn't seem right. Oh, that doesn't seem typical. So we were able to immediately get him the care that he needed. So that really came into play because she is a teacher and she was like right off the bat, did you see that? Or did you notice that? So we were really able to help him out with a lot of his therapies and whatnot because we got him the help he needed right away.
And you also understood the process attached to that because it isn't like a, oh, let me call my insurance and everything will work out.
Right. So. And I think that that was like his guardian angel or something really helping him out because, you know, if he had gone to a family that had no background in what we have our background in, I think that it would easily have been missed.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, kids that are in foster care, they have a lot of trauma and a lot of, you know, attachment issues because they are being ripped out of their home. And so going to some new home with new people, they're not easily, they don't easily acclimate. So, you know, a lot of his issues could have been overlooked.
It totally. So, and yeah. Also even with my oldest, he has ADD, and he's a little bit behind in some of the skills such as reading, but also in some emotional skills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I noticed it, I got a lot from, well, wait, because we first want to see it, if it's the trauma or if it's whatever was going on.
Yeah.
He didn't have near as traumatic a situation as a lot of kids do. But but that feeling like, no, something's not right.
And, you know, it's I've been told by social workers and whatnot that a lot of kids with from the foster care system, because sometimes trauma and disabilities or like, you know, developmental delays or whatnot, they kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you really don't know, is it trauma or is it a disability? And so, you know, really a lot of it is we're going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and you either way, therapy is going to help.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I would highly recommend to anyone fostering.
Absolutely.
Is to get therapy. And really it is on the foster parents a lot because the social workers provide all of this for you. But if you don't take them up on it, it'll just, they'll just fall through the cracks, you know? So that's the other thing I've recommended to my friends who've decided to foster, like make sure you get those kids any kind of therapy that, you know, are allotted to them because it'll just, you know, have them progressing immensely.
Yeah.
So
it makes a huge difference.
Totally.
And now you and your wife are white and the two children that you have adopted are Black.
Yes.
And what was the learning curve on that? I know of one in particular, but what were some of the learning?
Yeah, curves? That was the, I would say that that was my number one fear besides just being a new mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take all of these foster classes, they try to educate you on, you know, making sure that you're culturally sensitive, making sure that you're aware of, you know, the needs of different cultures and whatnot. And that was overwhelming in itself because, you know, you just kind of think from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was told, you know, oh, these children, they're Black and, you know, you're going to be giving, you're going to be having biological family visits. All I could think in my head was, I just want to make sure when they're presented to their family, they look like they're the best cared for kids ever because I want the family to feel secure and the fact that their kids are being cared for. But when you have two children that come in with, you know, curly tops and I have this stick straight hair and, you know, I was freaking out because I wanted to make sure that I did a good job. And that was very, very hard.
And a huge thing in the Black community is if your hair is done.
Right.
My mom is white and she just kind of let me have the curly fro.
Right.
Which I was growing up in the South.
Yes.
With a white mom and walking around with a curly fro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine how well that went over. Yeah. But luckily, I'm very fortunate. I live in Los Angeles. I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I did ask around. But the funny part that I found was when I asked a lot of my Black friends about it, they were just kind of like, oh, don't worry about it. It's all good. Put it up in a ponytail. You know, these are some of the products I use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it really wasn't that easy. And I came to find out that some of my friends, they just really, they didn't really do a lot of protective styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the word I learned, protective styles. What's a protective style? You know, I was so like, you know, just freaked out by it all. But, you know, Pinterest became my friend.
Yeah.
And I literally went on every page I could possibly find about, you know, learning how to, you know, style Black hair. And luckily, there is just a ton of information out there.
Yeah.
Now, it's a lot of varying information out there. So it was a huge learning curve and it took me a long time. But I think I'm starting to get it down. You know?
Oh, you got it down, because I can't even fathom some of the hairstyles.
Well, I mean, again, Pinterest, you know what I mean? Pinterest is amazing. But it's become like a hobby of mine now at this point. I haven't gotten everything down. Like, I'd really love to learn how to cornrow. I tried. I'm just not really good at it.
I don't know how to cornrow. I can French braid.
I didn't know how to French braid before my children. I did not even know how to French braid my own hair or anyone else's hair for that matter. So this was huge. But I love doing her hair. Yeah. It's a bonding time for her and I.
It's true, because you spend a good amount of time doing hair.
And she gets to pick things like, oh, mommy, I like these beads, or I like those bows, or, you know, oh, get me that kind of scrunchie or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So she really, and she has opinions. So, you know, so it's fun, you know, and I get to ask her, how do you want me to do your hair today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she gets to pick. And so, you know, the thing that scared me the most was that, mm-hmm. was that was one of the main things that scared me about being able to do her hair and his hair up to par. But it's actually become one of the best things, because she and I have bonded so much over it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoy it. So
I have to say, as much hair as I have, I was scared to death of having a daughter to have to deal with.
Oh, but she's so beautiful.
She has hair that's really pretty easy to comb, because mm-hmm. it's not as much as mine. Mm-hmm. So I've got mine down, so hers is an easier transfer. But me, with all this hair on,
well, I remember when I asked you, you were one of the people I asked, and you're like, you're fine. Because I think that at that time I was doing a lot of twists, so you're like, you're doing fine.
You're doing way better than I thought I would be doing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
And the time investment, but you're right, it turns into a hobby experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, like, and trying daughter. New things. Well, look at her hair today.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
She puts in her orders. Mm-hmm. But
exactly.
I want the bow here, and these bows need to be pink, and this one needs to
exactly.
be blue.
Exactly, exactly. But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And you get that 10, 15, however, that doesn't always take 10,
sometimes
15
hours.
Minutes. Yes. Wash day is a whole nother story.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't get me going. I mean, that could take hours for me sometimes.
Yeah. And so with your son having to adjust with dealing with the therapist, and once he was in school, I'm assuming the therapy at home dropped a little more.
Yeah. I mean, how it works is when you receive children from foster care, I'm sure you had some of this too, they tell you if you see any problems, then you let us know, and then we will give you referrals to X, Y, and Z. Usually, like around here, we're very, very fortunate. We have the regional center, which any child with any kind of delay, you can go and have them assessed. And then they will not only assess your child and diagnose them with X, Y, and Z, but they will provide therapy in your home, which is just truly amazing. And I highly recommend it to anybody. Even if for your biological children, you can do that.
Yes.
Because it's covered either by insurance, or you can actually pay outright for it. But we did that immediately because we saw his need for speech alone. And so they came in and they provided him three different types of therapies in my home for him. So they were coming almost every single day. And so he came to my home as, I mean, I hate to characterize it this way, but it's the best way that people can understand what I'm referring to. He came in as what some people might refer to as feral-like.
Yes.
So like just kind of a wild child, like doesn't really understand, you know, any kind of rules, was very aggressive and just not happy. It wasn't a happy child. Very frustrated because he couldn't express his needs in any way.
Yeah.
So the minute that we got speech therapy for him and he was able to start saying what he was thinking, that helped immensely. And then all of the other stuff just kind of fell into place along with that. So once he was diagnosed at three with high-functioning autism, we knew we needed to get him an IEP at his school. So
which
immediately,
is an individual educational plan.
I'm sorry.
In
case you don't know. Sorry, yes. Individualized educational plan. And those are for any kind of student that has any kind of issue with learning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we came to find out that, you know, his issues were actually much more behavioral than academic. Mm-hmm. But initially, he needed a lot of help, just, you know, acclimating into a school setting. And so we got him that help, and he's just literally shot off like a rocket. Like, if I had to chart, you know, his progress from when he came to now, it would literally be, you know, because I think just being moms, you know, we want the best for our kids. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't know what the heck you're doing, you are going to figure it out.
Yes.
And so that's what my wife and I, our goal was to just make sure that we provided him access to anything he could possibly get that could help propel him to progress.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I think, what has been helpful to him is that we just never gave up. Because a lot
you
of...
You can't.
You can't give up. You can't, and it doesn't matter how frustrated you are or he is. You know, there were days where the last thing he ever wanted to do was see another therapist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he would tantrum and, you know, and we would be crying. We'd be tantruming, you know.
It's too much.
It's too much. And so... But, you know, you think to yourself, what do I want my child to be like in 10 years
yeah.
or 20 years mm-hmm. for that matter? And I just kept thinking, I want him to have every opportunity that every other child has. So I think that my wife's and my tenacity and just like, we're not going to give up. Mm-hmm. I think that that's helped him. And I'm super proud of him because he's just taken it all in and just done a beautiful job. He's doing great.
Yeah.
Very proud of him.
Both of them are. Now, over this time mm-hmm. as a mother, mm-hmm. what would you say has been your biggest personal challenge?
My son. And really not him.
I mean,
him.
Coming from you, not your
kids. Oh, coming. Well, I mean, this is the same subject because really my patients. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was the most patient person on the planet.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I really did. Because I'm a school nurse and I work with teachers all day long, you know, I would see people teaching and I would be like, oh, I could do that. You know, I'm not maybe as well as them. They are educated and trained.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as far as patients wise,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, like that would be fun, mm-hmm. you know, to sit down and do math with like, a child. Okay, well, I don't know what I was thinking because especially when I had a son that had challenges,
mm-hmm.
that's all I was doing was like teaching him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things come inherently to your kids. Mm-hmm. Like to my daughter, I mean, she's just quick as a whip and just everything, you know, inherently just comes by her watching us.
Yeah.
That's not the case for my son. And so I had to literally teach him etiquette, teach him, you know, every little thing that you take for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found out real fast that I am the least patient person I know. And I feel terrible about it because I really am not the person I thought I was.
You are not alone.
It's crazy.
You are not alone.
But I mean, it's crazy making that
yeah.
you think you're a certain way and then you find out you're nothing even remotely close to that.
Well, I mean, it's all relative too, because
yeah.
when you're having to deal with a child, that also
yeah.
is a trigger for you. Like
yes.
their behavior is a trigger
yes.
for you.
Exactly.
And you feel that bubble of anger
rage.
Come up. Yeah.
Rage.
It just like
yeah.
rolls right up your body. And it's like, whoa.
It is still my problem. Like, I mean, and he is amazing, doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I can't complain. Things are great. But it's taken me this long to kind of get to a place where I'm able to control it and like talk myself through it. Like just, okay, Autumn, you know, just you're fine. Everything is fine. Just, you know, just take a deep breath and walk away or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of yelling or, you know, I'm a yeller.
Yeah. Having your human reaction.
Yes. And I hate to say it, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I've struggled with that because
yeah.
I always said I was never going to be that. And unfortunately, you have one thing you find out being a mom is your kids are completely different
mm-hmm.
and you have to parent them differently. I just thought you just parent, like
yeah.
you just have rules and you say, this is how it's going to be. And they follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sometimes they don't, you give consequences or, you know, they don't earn something or whatever. And then you move along. No, I have to completely parent my two children opposite.
Yeah.
And that drives me bonkers because I feel I don't want any of my kids to feel like I'm favoring one or I'm treating another one differently, et cetera. But you do.
Yeah.
Because they learn differently. They act differently, you know, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And so same thing. I feel like with my 7-year-old, I'm on him so much more. But because I'm trying to prevent where I know
it's going
to
go,
he can go. Yeah. And so I feel like I'm always being so much harder on him.
It's like you feel like you're like this, like nonstop, like just like, like just, I feel like I never stop, like, Quentin, no, 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 Quentin, Quentin. Like, and I feel like, what must people think about me? And it really doesn't matter. But I mean, but it, you know, that is just not the person I ever thought I would be. Mm-hmm. But you don't mother the way that you thought you were going to. You mother the way you have to.
Yeah.
And that's what I think all of us struggle with, right? Yeah. I mean, like, and that's why we're exhausted, and that's why we're beating ourselves up all the time, even though we shouldn't.
Yeah, because we're human and we're
lying. And we're not living up to what we thought we were going to be.
Which, oh my God, I don't know why we can't let that
let it go. I try. I really do. It's especially hard for me when I hear my mother come out of my mouth. And I'm like, ah, like I literally want to like rip my hair out on the spot. But it's, you know, that's inherent in me, you know, from when I was a kid. That's, you know, and you're, it's surprising how those things that you hated as a child come out of your mouth with your children, but it's a part of being a mom.
Yeah.
It's a part of being a human, you know what I mean? And I've never been tested ever like this.
Or had to constantly assess and reassess yourself on a daily basis.
And let me tell you, I'm a school nurse. My whole job all day long are kids coming to me and trying to get out of class. So I'm used to disciplining and I'm used to having to be like, really, you know, go back to class, you know, like in being firm and whatever. But they get to go home. You know what I mean? This is like an all day thing. And I just happen to have certain things where my button is pushed like nonstop all day long.
Yes.
And which I'm sure all of us do. Yeah. And I just never thought I would be that person. But it is what it is.
You and everybody else, pretty much.
Yeah.
But
we don't talk about it.
No, we don't. Because
that's why I like you. Because you talk about it with me. You're one of the few that actually discuss it, you know.
Well, you would never purposely yell at your kid in public. And when you're in the safety of your home, you're more apt to naturally react however you're feeling, whereas when you're in public. But then we have the social media and and so there's the persona that we put up for everyone and then there's what actually goes on in our day to day.
But see, that's what I'm saying is sometimes even in public I'm like monster mommy.
Well, and Dennis,
I just can't
help myself. Just talked about it this morning, like comparing, when we compare ourselves to other people, it's like if someone could look at you and judge you. But they don't know that you've been dealing with since 5 this morning, this, and this.
Exactly.
Not to excuse, you know, when you lose it with your kid, all of us do, but to look from the outside in.
Right.
You're not getting the
full. Is it wrong, though, that when I see other parents, like, disciplining their kids, I'm like, yes, you go. Cool, girl. Yes, I love it. Like,
you should be.
Well, and I'm sitting here thinking, I love it. Like, I actually get excited. Mm-hmm. Not because the poor kid's getting in trouble, but, like, more because, oh, my God, there's, like, actually parents out there that do it in public like I do. Because I'm not going to fake it for my kids. Like, I'm not going to be, like, all, you know, someone else when we're out in public, because I want them especially to behave in public. So like, I will just like go there because I like, you know, I want them to know I'm getting serious and this needs to stop. So when I see other people doing it, I'm like, oh, it's like comforting
for me. My people there.
Can I get your number? Let me hang out with you more often. Yes, exactly. It's wrong.
True. I mean, we all have our daily struggles and we all have our daily triumphs. So, what would you say is one of your triumphs as a mom that you weren't expecting from yourself?
I would say that I don't know if this is, I guess this is a mom thing. I mean, I'm really proud of myself at how I've been able to manage it all. I'm pretty organized. Like, and I was super organized pre being a mom. Now I'm kind of what I would call a mess, but like other people say you're like really on top of it. But I don't feel that way because I'm not as. But I am able to do like 8 million things at one time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know I had that talent, you know? So, yeah. And my wife's always just like, I don't even know how you do that many things at once. Like you're cooking dinner, you're doing laundry, you did like about 5 dishes just then. Like, you know, how did you do all of that and take care of, you know, the kids when they're whining about X, Y, and Z? And I'm just like, well, do I have a choice? Like, you know, but I guess there's a lot of people that just can't.
Yeah. No, it's I classify it personally as a superpower.
Yes. Okay. Well, I excel there, you know, maybe not in the patience. My wife excels in the patience area. So we kind of complement
strength. Yes. Like my husband cannot multitask to save his life. That is just, if he's cutting fruit for their lunch, that's all he can do.
That's my wife. Yeah.
And mind you, I'm cutting fruit, I'm cooking, I'm holding the baby while breastfeeding.
Exactly.
I leave all the cabinets open and the kitchen's a disaster.
But, you know, but you're getting it done.
Yes. And he comes behind me and he's good at the cleanup part.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing is, that's what's so great about relationships, though. Like, I mean, as parents, being parents together as a team, because you figure out real quick who's good at what, and then that becomes your job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, like, my wife is the play parent. She is the parent that takes them outside and lets them get all dirty, because I'd be like, oh my God, what's going to happen to my floor and my couch and my, you know, but, I mean, I'm really not that anal, but you know, when they're in the mud and it gets me worked up, she's just like, oh yeah, get dirty and I'll, you know, and I'll clean you off. And, you know, and I'm just like, thank God I have you, because I want them to experience all those amazing, awesome things that I'm just not really that great at. Yeah. Like, and I like to play with them, just not like that. And they need that. Mm-hmm. And she's great at that. She's, you know, so creative. She's a teacher. So she's got these painting projects and all these, she's got the shower curtain outside and she's like, got a, like a theme that they're going to paint. And I'm just like, I would have never come up with that. You know what I mean?
Cause you would have been in the house trying to clean while they're playing and folding laundry.
And I'm okay with like, oh, like how about this coloring book? You know, and I'm not good with like coming up with cool things, like making, you know, all these scientific projects and whatever. Nope, not me.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is she's great at that. So we complement each other that way. I'm the doer and she's the fun parent, but she's also super patient with them. And I'm kind of always like cracking the whip kind of person, getting it moving.
You have to have that balance. Yeah. Otherwise your kids know they can just run over the both of you. So.
Right. Totally. I mean, and there's a lot of times that I wish I was more of the other type of parent, but you know, you go with what you've got,
your
skill
set. Your strength.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I exceed. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate you having me. This was fun.
Yes, it was very fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum, and I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on the Mom Forum.